started happening. They moved from being stagnant people to alive people because they understood freely receive, freely give. And the more you give, the more alive that you have. But the drink becomes a river when you turn it outwards. And so you're in a place where you don't have enough. The Lord offers you just enough. He asks you to give a portion of your just enough to somebody else who doesn't have enough, and you end up with more than enough. I mean, you know, that's what the boy did with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He had just enough. He had a lunch. It was a great need. He could have said, well, what's 5 loaves and 2 fishes with this multitude? That's what the disciples said. We got this guy over here with the lunch. He's willing to share it, but it's just 5 loaves, 2 fishes. The Lord says, I can use it. I'll take his just enough, and I'll begin to turn it outwards. And how many of you know it became a feast? The sack lunch became a feast when he gave it. Does that make sense? And your sack lunch will become a feast when you give it. See, you're waiting till you have an extra Big Mac before you give it to somebody else. So I only have the number 2 value meal. It's 2 cheeseburgers, and I need both of them to satisfy my hunger. You know, if I had another dollar, I'd get a Big Mac, and I'd give it outwards. God says, no, take one of those cheeseburgers and give it to somebody. I said, but I won't have enough. I'll go away hungry. It's not the issue. The issue's not you. The issue is you want to voluntarily have some loss so someone else will gain, and as you do, you don't lose. You don't. You think you might, but it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? Okay. Whoa. All right, let's turn to 2 Peter. And we'll deal with one more concept, and then we'll stop until next week. One more scripture. Second Peter, the 1st chapter, verse 4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. How many of you have found God's promises to be precious and magnificent? If they're not, that's because you haven't really enjoyed the promise. You've talked about it, you've prayed about it, but you've not gotten in on it. It may be precious to you, but only the people that feast on them does it become magnificent. Everyone say with me, magnificent. You guys will say anything. Say pork chops. I mean, no, I'm sorry. Don't say that. Don't say that. And so he says he's granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Now, this is a real key word. You'll find this word, depending on what translation, my translation will say in order that. The NIV will say so that. Okay? But both of those, anytime you see it, it's very important because it's about to tell you why God gives you what he's going to give you. He says, I'll grant you my promises in order that. All right? And if you don't know why you're getting the promise, then you may misuse it. And if you misuse it, you won't get any more of his promises. Because faithful over little make you ruler over much. It's what you do with little that determines whether you get much. Don't do right by the little, you don't get the much. Does that make sense? Okay. So it says here, in order that, by them, the promises, you might become partakers of the divine nature. The promises of God are given so that we might partake of the nature of God. Now that's important. Promises represents what God has. How many of you believe that? Everything that God has comes to us in promise form. There are promises for finances. There are promises for healing. There's promises for victory. There's promises for everything that we have need of. So promises represents what God has. His nature represents what he is and what he does. You can't separate what he is from what he does because you see how he is and what he does. You understand? A person, you can tell how a person is not by what he tells you. I mean, what he tells you isn't always true. It's what you see him do. It's what he demonstrates in his life. So the nature represents what he is and what he does. Promise represents what he has. And here's what God's saying. He says, I'll give you what I have if you'll use it to become like I am and do what I do. Does that make sense? Here, let me give you an example of what I mean. How many of you know there is a promise of mercy in the Scripture? How many of you are glad of that? Mercy, simply stated, is not getting what you deserve. And I am so grateful that 25 years ago, the Lord did not give me what I deserve. But can I tell you, at the risk of maybe some of you not thinking very highly of me, and David's thinking, nope, too late for that, Jim, that I'm just as grateful that the Lord didn't give me what I deserve today. I needed his mercy. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Now, why do you think they're new every morning? Because you need them every morning. He says his mercy goes to 1,000 generations. If you live to be 1,000 generations worth of life, you'll still need his mercy. And so it says, so we have this promise of mercy. Mercy is what he has, but here's what he says. He says, I'm going to give you this promise, not only to help you, but I want you to equip you. I want you to take this promise of mercy, and I want you to use it to partake of my nature, which is merciful. The primary reason I'm giving you the mercy in the first place is not just to deal with your condemnation. It's not just to put your mind at ease. It's so that you will be a person that postures himself, that when he runs into somebody that is condemning himself, that you will be merciful to him. Mercy is what I have. Merciful is what I am. And can I tell you, more happens in being merciful than happens than when you get mercy? How many know? Now we know Jesus said it because it's written in red. It's one of the few scriptures in the books of Acts that is written in red. And Luke is saying something Jesus said. Now, we don't see this in the Gospels. But we have to take his word that Jesus said it. And he says, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, break that down for a minute. We all say, oh, yeah, it's more blessed to give. Now, what it's saying, more happens in giving than happens in receiving. That's what it says. More happens. Remember, the drink becomes a river when you turn it outward. Some of you know that's more. More happens in the giving than happens in the receiving. Some of you know when he gave the sack lunch. Now I want you to know, the scripture doesn't say this, but knowing the character of Christ, I believe this is what happened. When they took up that 12 basket full, some of you know they gave some of that to that little boy. And he went home with more than he had by giving away that what he had. Freely receive, freely give, which will cause, again, God to freely receive so that you can freely give. Now, here's how we do it. We freely receive, conditionally give. Then we wonder why we're conditionally receiving now. Because there's another scripture in the Bible that uses this. It says, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you. The Lord says, all right, I'm going to start it out. I'm going to show you how to give. This is the measure you should use when you give to somebody. Big measure, very generous, full of mercy, full of grace. He says, all right, I want you to use this measure. Now, this is the measure I'm using on you, and this is the measure I want you to use on others. But if you don't, then whatever measure you use on others, that's the one I'm going to use on you. You understand? I can determine how much I get blessed by how much I decide to be a blessing to somebody else. That's what determines my blessing, is how do I bless? Now, you can disregard that, or you can embrace it and get excited, and it'll be magnificent. There's another scripture, the promise of forgiveness. Forgiveness is what he has. Forgiving is what he is. If you don't use his forgiveness to become forgiving, you have frustrated the very reason why you were forgiven in the first place. Let's turn to two other scriptures and we'll close. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. 2 Corinthians, first chapter. All right, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our afflictions. How many of you are grateful that God comforts you in your affliction? I am. That's a promise. God promises me that when I'm afflicted, he'll give me some comfort. But here, now here's what it says, though. Listen to this. He comforts us in all our afflictions so that. Do you see that? It's the same Greek word that is translated in order that. He says, here's why I comfort you in all your afflictions, so that you might comfort others with the same comfort that you yourselves received of God. He says, comfort is what I have, but comforter is what I am. If you don't use your comfort to become a comforter, and take it of my partaking of my nature of comforter, then you have frustrated the very reason I gave you the comfort in the first place. When you get comforted, you need to immediately, whatever you receive from the Lord, you need to primarily see it as an equipping and not as a provision. It will provide for you, but that's secondary. If you want to promote and propagate and increase what God is doing, then you need to see it as an equipping. As soon as you get comforted, immediately start looking for the opportunity to comfort somebody else. And can I tell you, more happens in comforting somebody else than happened when you got comforted? It does. Try it. More happens. The drink becomes a river. It's more blessed. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9, and this is our last scripture. Verse 11. And I'm going to quote it to you out of the NIV. I like the way it says it. He says, I will make you rich in every way. How many of you like that promise? I do. And let me tell you, just for those of you that are run with the prosperity pack, that when the Bible talks about riches, it's not talking about money. It's not. When it talks about wealth, it's talking about money. But when it's talking about riches, it's not. I think money's on the list, but I don't think it's real high on the list. Because what enriches your life, money can't buy. It just can't. The highest rate of suicide in our country is among the upper class people. They're killing themselves more than any other single group because money can't enrich them. It can make them rich, but it can't enrich them. And so when it's talking about riches, it's not primary. I think it's included in there. I think money is a tremendous servant. I believe it makes a very harsh taskmaster. If any of you have never been through the Crown Ministry, I would encourage you to do that. It's a biblical course, 12-week, very extensive. You have to roast your game. That's one of the few finances course that make you roast the game. You have to roast it. There is just not any knowing it. You've got it set up in such a way as during the course of the 12 weeks, you do what you know. And it forever changes your life. Changed mine. But anyway, that's another story. I was plugging that for you. So if we have that one out there, you need to do it. It changed mine. Anyway, let's get off that. But he says, I will make you rich in every way so that. Do you see that? Again, here's why I'm doing it. Now you got to know why God does it. So that you can become generous on every occasion. Every way, every occasion. Make you rich, cause you to be generous. Riches, God says, riches is what I have, but generous is what I am. And if you don't use your riches to become generous, and then you have frustrated the very reason I enriched you in the first place. I want you to know, when God blesses you, you need to immediately look for the occasion to be generous, because it will. He made you rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. See everything that comes to you as an equipping first and as provision second. If you do, I promise you, you'll never be in want of provision. Never. Never be in want of provision. Because you are freely receiving and you are freely giving. Someone became your friend, so you immediately look for the occasion to be somebody else's friend. Somebody led you to Christ. You need to immediately look for the occasion to lead somebody else to Christ. It's grasping the cross for our own provision, and it's reaching out your hand to minister to somebody else at the same time. It's getting for yourself and giving out to others at the same time. Now, if we don't get this in our spirit, then we'll never be effective at evangelism. We would have talked about it. We would have had 12 great weeks together. You guys will have had some sayings. You'll run around and say, magnificent. I mean, you'll say stuff like that, and it'll make you laugh, and then we'll think of all the cute times that we had. But if nobody gets saved, then we would have spun our wheels. If this church doesn't begin to grow by conversion growth instead of by physical growth and transfer growth, then we will have spun our wheels. Now, this church is already grown by conversion growth. I'm not saying that. But how many of you know there's always room for improvement? And we make too much of it. The devil has painted such a picture where it's the simplest, easiest, funnest thing in the world. But we've got this in our mind that it's not. And hopefully, by the time we're done, you'll at least get that out of your mind. And let's stand together. Let's close tonight. If you don't mind, would you come up and let's sing that song again, Go Light Your Candle. And that'll be our theme song for these 12 weeks that we are together. How many of you are going to roast some game? Just raise your hand. You better roast it. I mean, just don't raise your hand. It doesn't do any good. You go home, you dissect it, you skin it, you roast it, you do it, you think, how can I do it? Who? What neighbor? And we're going to give you a lot of practical things, but let's pray together. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, get this in our spirit. Two things, Lord. Forever put it on our hearts to roast our game. And then, Lord, help the game that we roast be this. Freely receive. Freely give. Lord, help us to use what you give us to become like you are. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing the first verse and then the chorus, and then we'll be dismissed, okay?
There is a candle in every soul. Some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes its home. To carry your candle, run to the darkness. Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light Jehovah.